Our scripture lessons today come from Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The word of the Lord.
Last month, Bob Wilcox and Tom Finney went on a mission trip down to Pennsylvania to help those in need. And this morning, Tom is going to share some of that experience with us and give us his thoughts, his deeper thoughts on his experience. Tom, would you please come and join us? Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Skip, for introducing me today. May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Last week, Jim Olson from the Pilgrim Center for Reconciliation spoke with us. Wasn't he awesome? He did a great job, I thought. He taught me a couple things that I'm going to use a little bit to kind of get my message started today. Like him, I like to speak the word, so hopefully I won't run too much into our snack time. So, Jim taught us the definition of an ambassador, to be a representative from one group to another. As Christian ambassadors, with our eyes focused on heaven and our feet weighed down in this world, we are called to represent the King. Or simply stated, to represent Jesus to others in this world. A missionary is a religious ambassador, usually sent to another place with a servant's heart. We are all called to be missionaries, even if we don't travel beyond the borders of Hanson, even if we are not formally called or set apart. The Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, modeled this picture of what a missionary should be in the early church. He traveled over 9,100 miles on three mission trips and to the early churches and to Rome. During these trips, he was shipwrecked three times, nearly drowned, beaten by other citizens, criticized by other Christians, placed under arrest for 2 years without a trial, and even survived being bitten by a poisonous snake. Well, last month, Bob and I were blessed to travel down to Coatesville, Pennsylvania, in an air-conditioned bus with 25 other brothers and sisters in Christ to participate with an organization called Good Works. This is a great organization, and I'll talk about it right now to go over a few things. Their mission is to transform lives by repairing homes for low-income families and sharing the hope found in Jesus Christ. So we stayed in a church, and we would go off Monday through Friday and work in a poor-income community that is a trailer park. Good Works has five tenets or beliefs that they follow for God-honoring experiences. The first is to see people as God sees them. 1 John 4:11 says, "As God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." The second tenet is that give God our best. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for man." The third tenet is to serve without expectation. Luke 6:35 says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend to others, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. We are called to serve others with unconditional love, like Jesus does, and leave our expectations at the door. The fourth tenet of good works was to give God the glory. And from 2 Corinthians 10:17, it says, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. I think giving God the glory for everything is one way it keeps us from falling on something that we all can struggle with at times, and that's pride. Pride is the seventh deadly sins. It's found in Proverbs 6. And giving God all the glory for everything we do can help keep us from that trap. And the fifth tenet of good works is to let the Holy Spirit guide you. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us stay in step with the Spirit. Now, this was my third missionary trip I've done in my lifetime. I'm first in the U.S. I've usually gone to other countries. And it was hard work. I think Bob Wilcox will testify to that. We're out there in the heat. It was 95 degrees. We're up on the roof. We put two roofs in. We did siding to houses. We replaced a floor. We put a new bathroom in one home. We put cabinets in, electrical work. We had an electrician with us that did a lot of electrical work. We even painted the shutters and cleaned up the outside of the houses. So got a lot done in a week's time. But it was hard work. One family that we were working on, their house, just incredible condition. They were living with multiple cats. There was excrement all over the house. They had no shower for 5 years. They were shampooing their hair in the sink because they didn't have a shower. So we put a shower in and a bathroom in and really improved the quality of life for these people, which is one of our, what we're called to do is to help others out and to love others. So Bob and I worked alongside each other in one of the trailer homes with the owner named Joe. And Joe was a really interesting guy. He actually worked with us. He was up on the roof with us every day, which is pretty crazy. I got to know Joe very well over the course of the week, praying with him and encouraging him. Joe is a month older than me, so we're pretty similar in age. But he was in stage 2 renal failure and wasn't quite at the stage where he's doing dialysis yet, but he's out there, you know, skinny, losing weight, and out there on the roof with us, and just really got to know him very well. I felt for Joe, not so much because of his state of his body, but more because of his state of his soul. He did not know Christ. Although Joe did not accept Christ by the end of the week, he prayed with me that God would open his mind, and he does wish to join the church and help others like Homeworks has helped him, which I thought was huge. Praise God. The mission trip also offered opportunities to fellowship with other believers in Christ from three different churches, one in Weymouth, one in Kingston, and this church, and to pray for them, cheer for them, and to encourage them. Bob and I prayed with several members of our work team, and in Jesus' name, God brought healing to improve circumstances to several of the children. So we got to hear testimonies and see God's progress in their lives, which was amazing, just amazing experience. I encourage everyone who is able, who has not gone on a missions trip, to stretch yourself and go. Our team ranged in ages from 15 to 79, so pretty wide range of people that were able to go with us. So why missions? Why are we called to do missions? Well, I bring it back to what our purpose is. Why are we called to be on this earth? Why did God create us? And I think Jesus answers this in two places in Scripture real clearly. The first is in Luke 10:27. It's spoken six different places in the Bible. And it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second part of it is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we are called to do. That is our purpose. And the second purpose is from Matthew 28:19. And it's to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we're called to do, to have a vertical relationship with God first and to have a horizontal relationship with each other. And in doing that, to bring our word, to bring Jesus' good news to others and baptize them. Missions has the opportunity to do this. So how can we be more fruitful then as Christians, regardless of whether we travel to do good works or in our homes, our workplaces, our families, or our communities? I think we all have to start by being a little bit crazy for Jesus. And I'm going to explain that in a second, okay? It's an acronym, C-R-A-Z-Y, but being crazy for Jesus, there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to talk about that. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you want to be more fruitful, we must stay connected to the vine in Jesus Christ. In fact, we must allow ourselves to be a little crazy for him, to step out a little bit for him. So the C part of crazy stands for captivated by his presence. That's where it all has to start. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, I work with a microscope at work a lot. I'm a veterinarian, and you know, one of the crazy things I love about the microscope is that you can look at some really small things. You look at cells and look at organisms that are really tiny. You can't see with the naked eye. And as you go from, like, the low power lens to the high power lens, you can kind of see the background of all the shapes of the cells and any organisms that might be in there. But as you switch to high power, you can really focus down on the insides of the cell, the nuclei, the chromosomes that are in the cell. Really kind of cool. That's the focus we need to have. As Christians, we need to have a high-power lens. We need to keep our high-power lens on in our connection with Jesus in our lives. A better example that I think everyone can appreciate here is how your dog focuses on the food bowl every night. Now, I have a newfie, and there is nothing that can distract him from the ultimate goal, which is food, when I open that bag. So some of you might be able to appreciate that. So how do we stay captivated by his presence? Colossians 2:6-7, which Skip read today, just as we received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. Life is thankful for what you need to be thankful for what you have and not coveting what you don't have. I think that's one of the most important lessons that Paul had too. Paul had a constant thorn in his side, was being able to focus on the thankfulness that's in your life, and it will help you with your walk and help you to stay captivated in his presence. So from the passage, Colossians 2:6-7, the first thing we must do is we have to receive Christ, all right? We need to be, as it says in 10:9, Romans 10:9, confess with ourselves that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God the Father has raised us from the dead. Then we can be saved. We must first be saved. The second part from Colossians 2:6-7 is we must walk with Christ. We must walk with Christ every day, daily, not just Sundays, but on a daily basis. We must put down roots in Christ. I don't know, everybody remember the storm from 1996. I remember being back in Pembroke at the time, and there was a storm in October that came up, and we had all those pine trees, those white pine trees that went through. There was like a tornado that went through our neighborhood. We lost about 13 of these giant 100-foot pine trees. It just got blown right over. And the reason why is you look at like an oak tree, and an oak tree has really deep roots in a surrounding. If you ever look at a pine tree, when it falls up, the roots are pretty superficial. So we need to have deep roots like an oak tree. You know, if we're going to stay when the storm comes. And we're all going to have storms in our life. Jesus said that, you know, your life is not going to have storms just because you're a Christian. You're going to have tough times. And if the only way we're going to stay rooted during those storms is to have a relationship with him. And the fourth part from Colossians 2:6-7 is to be built up in Christ. And how do we build up in Christ? We build up in Christ by spending time with him in our own habits, what we do with our own personal time with the Bible and with the Lord, but also with our community, with our church. We need to help build each other up. We need to help encourage each other. When one of our brothers and sisters is down, we need to help them out. You can't be captivated by Christ if you're not spending time with him. I spend time in prayer every morning, my devotion time, just starting the day right. Just start get your day started before you go off with all the craziness of this world, this pace that we live in. If we don't start our day with Christ, we're going to be lost very quickly. We get absorbed by the distractions that we have around us. Spend time in the Word, okay? Learn the Word. Study the Word. Learn Scripture verses. Because during the day when Satan is tempting you, or during the day when somebody at work comes up to you and needs guidance, remember a Scripture verse. If you have it, you can help them out. You don't have to necessarily say it in Christian speak. You can say it in your own words. But you can give life to somebody that doesn't know Christ. Pray continuously. Don't just pray in the morning. Pray throughout the day. There are times I'm going into surgery. I will say a prayer before I go in to do surgery. I'll pray with clients in rooms. Use the effectiveness. Be fruitful throughout the day. Spend time worshiping him. A verse that helps me focus in on the love of Christ is Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He is worthy to be worshipped. True worship is simply the love of God. So demonstrate your love for God and how we live. We can express worship, certainly in music, and I'm very thankful for music. Music is just a great gift God has given us, and it's a great way to worship him in song. But there's other expressions of other expressions of worshiping God and how we walk and how we talk. One of my favorites I'll go into now is being radical. The R part of crazy stands for radical in our expression. We must be uninhibited in our passion for Jesus. Stop thinking about what others around you think and start thinking about what Jesus would think. Sing to the Lord. Dance to the Lord. If the Spirit calls you to dance for Jesus, then dance for Jesus like David did in the streets. Okay? Lift your arms in praise if led by the Spirit. Okay? In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow in your salvation. Are we growing as Christians, or are we being stagnant? If the Spirit is leading you to go to the altar for prayer, then go to the altar. If the Spirit leads you to lay hands on someone in the congregation that needs healing, then lay hands on them. And in Jesus' name, pray for them. If the Spirit is leading you to raise your hands in worship or to kneel down to him in adoration, then do it. And we as a church need to be more graceful to others and their differences in how they worship, and to be welcoming. We're created in God's image, uniquely shaped by God, as Jim Olson talked about last week. We're unique. We have different spiritual gifts. We have different heart passions, different abilities, different personalities, and different experiences. I could not walk a mile in someone else's shoes. They have different experiences than I have. One of my favorite cliches I use is, if both of us are exactly alike, then one of us isn't necessary. But God made us all individually for a purpose, right? We all have different gifts, as Jim Olson would say last week, and we need to utilize those gifts. Some of us are the hands of Christ. Some of us are the feet of Christ. Some of us are the noses and ears of Christ, right? But as a body, we come together, and we can do good works. The A part of the acronym stands for anointed by the Holy Spirit. Some of us have had very powerful experiences with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised his followers in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. Some of the most powerful Holy Spirit experiences I have had in my life is when I allowed myself to be completely dependent on God. When I was brave enough to let go of the control and allow God to do good works through me in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give an example of this now, a little short film that I think most of us have seen. Hopefully everyone recognizes this.
You must hurry! Come quickly!
It's a leap of faith.
Robert, you must believe, boy. You must believe.
It's an amazing feeling when you recognize that you let go and the Holy Spirit answers, like Indiana Jones had right there. He had an opportunity and he needed to save his father and had to get across that ledge. He took a step of faith out there and God answered in the prayer. So that's really what I mean by the step of faith. When I was early in my walk with Christ, I was a camp counselor at SNED. Camp, which is a junior high camp at Zion Bible College in Rhode Island. And we were at chapel, and I was called by the camp director to the altar to help pray for the kids. And there were over 250 kids in this camp. This is a big camp. I was not practiced at praying for others, certainly not in a large group like that. And God answered. I said a prayer to God. I was very nervous, and I prayed to God, and I said, God, help me and to guide me. Give me the words to speak, Lord, and just be with me as I pray for these young men and women, Lord, that as they come forward. And God answered my prayer completely in a very life-shaking experience. As the youth came forward for prayer, I knew what they were going to say before they opened their mouth. It was the most life-changing experience I've ever had. I was completely filled by the Holy Spirit. And then as I answered their prayers, the words coming out of my mouth were not my own. I didn't even recognize who was speaking. It was totally a life-shattering experience for me. To this day, the experience brings shakes and tears to my eye, just reflecting on it. So how could I ever deny the existence of God the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? For since that life-changing experience, I've been gifted at times with praying in tongues, which many in this body may not be comfortable with, but it is a gift that can be given, one of the many gifts that we have. On our mission trip at Good Works, they had a midweek service with some young worship team leaders, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit at this time of worship, and it's definitely a different style than we do here at this church here, but being welcoming to all services can be helpful, and I really, really enjoy the evening service that we have tonight, the relevant service. It's wonderful. So make sure you all come tonight at 5. There's a plug. So don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a great comforter, and I have found it magnifies my clarity when I read Scripture and reading God's words in my morning devotions. Don't be afraid to ask more of God in your life and less of yourself. One of the great benefits of going on a missions trip is it allows you to get out of the way of yourself, the distractions of this world, the distractions of our work, our finances, and we can focus only on God and worshiping Him and serving others. And that brings us to the Z part of crazy, captivated by His presence, radical in our expression, anointed in our spirit, zealous for others. One of my daily prayers is to see others through God's eyes. Give me the passion to love others as you have loved us. Jim Olson gave great advice last week when he was talking about conflict. And when we converse with others, he said to lean in. Leaning in means to listen and learn. We can learn from others. Okay, we're all different for a reason. Thank God we're different. We're different looks, right? Thank God we all don't look the same, right? We all have different passions. Thank God for this. So we can learn a lot from somebody else, but if we don't listen, if we don't open our ears, then how are we going to converse? How are we going to connect to them? Our country needs us as brothers and sisters in Christ to model this right now in whatever circles we walk in. This country is angry, there's indifference, there's confrontation. We need to be the hands and feet of Christ in helping with this confrontation to bring peace. And the why part of crazy stands for yielding to his will. More of you and less of me. Pray constantly, persistently throughout the day that we are yielding to his will and not our own. Remember that love is a verb. Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above ourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. One of my favorite psalms that helps me yielding to his will is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. So far away, but I'm home now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And now my life song sings. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know how, but when he touched me, once was blind, but now I see. And now my life song sings. And now my life song sings. And now my life song sings. I once was dead, but now I live. I once was dead, but now I live. Now my life to you I give. Now my life to you I give. Now my life to you I give. Hallelujah, hallelujah, let my life song sing to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, let my life song sing to you. Hallelujah. life song sing to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my life song sing to you. Father in heaven, we thank you for the assurance of heaven. While we know that we do not deserve such an assurance, we are grateful that you gave it to us as a right because of our union with your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Help us to live uninhibited lives, to be crazy for you. We thank you that while we live in this world, we can seek to serve you fruitfully and to praise you by this kind of life we live, as well as by our words and the songs from our lips. We long to give you glory, honor, and thanks to you always. May our life in our praise and adoration of you be the closest thing to how worship is of you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.